Right now in studio, we have with us the State Treasurer of Illinois, Michael Frericks, joins us. Hi, sir.
Patty, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. It really is
a beautiful day, and it's nice to be in the fishbowl and to be able to see some sunshine that I wouldn't necessarily see in an office.
This is one of the last times because we are moving soon. So get your view in the next few weeks because we're on the move.
Happy to be here. I'll be happy to join you in a new one, but this really is a special place to have an interview.
I know. We were talking about how much we enjoyed listening to the Cubs over the years.
Yeah, I grew up in downstate Illinois, and a lot of people assume that I'm a Cardinals fan, but I tell them I grew up in northern Champaign County in a small town, and one, we were closer to Chicago than we were St. Louis, and two, WGN.
Right.
I grew up in a town of 800 people, and there wasn't a lot to do in that town when you're a kid before you have a driver's license. We got cable TV, I think, when I was in the third grade or so.
And you were better off than me. I had to leave for college to get cable TV. Go ahead.
But we got it that, I think, 1984, and I stayed home and watched almost every game of that magical season in 1984.
Oh, yeah.
And that just solidified my mind. I was a Cub fan for life.
You mean the season when Rick Sutcliffe went 16-1?
That season where Ryan Sandberg won the MVP. Where one particular July game, I think it was, he hit two home runs against the Cardinals to win in extra innings. Yes.
That one?
Yes, that game.
And then we won't talk about Steve Garvey in that grand slam. So here's the question I have for you and to answer a lot of questions people have about the treasurer as opposed to the comptroller. What are your responsibilities as the treasurer of Illinois?
I am the chief investment officer for the state of Illinois. I'm in charge of investing the state's money. Now, people will frequently ask me back, well, you work for a state that has no money.
Okay,
what do you do all day? And I have to tell them that the state does, in fact, have over 700 different funds with fund balances. We manage about $12 billion in state assets. We help cities and local units of government invest their money and get a higher return than they get by themselves, and that's about another $5 to $6 billion. And we help give family the tools they need to invest in themselves, the things like college education. We manage two 529 college savings programs, about $10 to $11 billion there.
And you also started a program just a few years ago for parents who have children with disabilities called ABLE.
Oh, I'm really excited about this. It works very similarly to a 529 college savings plan where you put money in, you invest it, and the growth is tax-free. But this is for children with disabilities. And it works the same way. You can save, invest, the growth is tax-free. But the really wonderful thing is right now, if you have a child with severe disabilities and they qualify for Social Security disability insurance, it's means-tested. And that means they can't have more than $2,000 in assets or they lose their benefits.
Yeah, I have friends who have pretty much have had to wipe clear all their savings, any investments in order to qualify for any of the benefits.
Yeah, I've talked to parents who have written their children out of their wills.
In order for them to qualify.
In order for them to keep their benefits.
Right.
I talked to one mother who had a daughter with Down syndrome. She had a job. She was working a law firm for a couple hours every day. She'd come in, open the mail, deliver the mail. Everyone loved her. And the lawyers called their mother and said, we're going to give your daughter a raise. And she had to tell them, no.
Right.
Don't do it. What little extra you'll give her might risk her benefits. You can't do it. What kind of parent wants to be in that situation? And so this will allow parents to save up to $100,000 in an ABLE account without risking their kids' benefits. It's going to make a huge difference in a lot of people's lives.
And how many states are participating? Because I know when we first talked about this, the one concern was portability. Let's say somebody moves to Montana.
Yeah, so if you move, the majority of states now have an ABLE program. Actually, about 15 of them have combined with us to create what I think is the best program in the country, because basically it's the largest pool of people who are able to negotiate the lowest fees. But if you were to move to a state that doesn't have an ABLE account or one that has a different one, you can still stay involved in your current account. You don't have to move. You don't lose access to it.
Excellent. We are talking to Illinois State Treasurer Michael Frericks. I want to talk to him about the auction that's coming up. Right after this break, I want to talk about claiming your unclaimed property. If you have a paycheck out there, before the show, I typed in my name, and it turns out there are two checks out there. Apparently, I didn't show up. Violetta said that whenever she left a job, she never missed one of those checks, but I apparently was like, see ya. You can keep your $10.
No, I like that awkward moment.
You like the awkward moment?
Yeah.
No, see, I hated working so much. I had a lot of different like odd and end jobs, but I used to leave in the middle of the day and not show up again. To this day, I'm still afraid to go into some restaurants because I'm pretty sure I still work there. Let's take a break here. More after this on 720 WGN. John Williams is returning on Thursday. I'm filling in today. I'm Patty Vasquez. We'll be here till 3 p.m. when RoCon takes over. In studio with me right now is Illinois State Treasurer Michael Frerichs. And before the show today, you know, you always hear about how you might have unclaimed property. You can go to the treasurer's website and type in your name and see if there are any outstanding checks. And I did that, and there are two for me, Treasurer. I'm kind of excited about that.
Great. This is the best job in state government. I get to play Santa Claus every day, returning money to people. And everyone loves free money, but not enough people check our website.
Right.
We bring in money twice a year. So if you've looked before and didn't find something, maybe something new has come in. We'd love to put more money back into your listeners' wallets so they can spend it in the local community. It's something we're very excited about. We've made a lot of changes to make it easier for people. So if you went in the past and it seemed a little too difficult, I just ask you to try again. We have two new programs, e-claiming and fast track, to cut some of the red tape.
Well, one, it was very easy. And the other thing is, these are really old checks. One of them, it says the Target Corporation, that I have a check under $100 from the Target Corporation.
And did you work for Target, or is it a rebate?
I did not work for Target at the time. Marshall Fields was owned by the Dayton Hudson Company, which tells you how long ago I had that check. How long do you hold on to people's paychecks?
We will hold on to it forever. In perpetuity. So if you don't claim that money, someday your heirs could come into us and show a copy of the will and claim that check.
Really? Okay. Well, I typed in my last name. I tried it with just my last name as well, mm-hmm. It will tell you how many people live in Illinois that have your last name as well.
How many people live in Illinois? And we have unclaimed
property. They have unclaimed property, right.
So if your last name is Smith, you're going to pull up an awful lot.
Yes.
Now, if you have a less common last name, if you type in Frerichs, you'll see there are several of which I don't even know, mm-hmm. But not too many of them, and you can look through and see if any are you.
And you were mentioning off the air that somebody told you they had a check for $89, and they were very excited about that. Tell us why.
Excited out of proportion for $89. I have an idea of how much money the man makes. I'm like, why are you so excited? He said, well, it's not for the $89, but it's for the memory. He said, in college, he went down to Eastern Illinois University. He worked for McDonald's. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to go in the next week to pick up your check from the restaurant at the time. But he graduated. He said, I got in the car and I left town as fast as I could, and I've never been back. And forgot to pick up my check. Well, McDonald's doesn't get to keep that money.
Right.
It belonged to him. He earned it. So eventually, after 5 years, without being able to find him, they turned it over to us. And then we put it on our website. He found it and had a great memory.
That's a wonderful memory. I guess I was surprised, to be honest with you, that there were only two outstanding checks. Because I had about 40 different part-time jobs before I became a stand-up comic.
All in the state of Illinois?
I've never lived anywhere else.
Okay.
Yeah. So nothing from Brown's Chicken. Nothing from Pizza Hut.
Keep looking, though. This is a really rewarding job. We had one story we called, tracked down someone, mm-hmm. let them know we had $250 for this woman, and she started crying.
Oh.
She started crying. Is there something wrong? Can we help you? She said, well, I wasn't sure how I was going to make rent this month. And this is like, it's like an angel called. And it's stories like that that make you want to go out and track down more people.
And make sure people know. So how do they, what's the website? What do they type in?
They go to IllinoisTreasurer.gov. Click on iCash.
It's the first box. You have a very intuitive website. I think that it's easy to use. You've got the boxes, right? So it says right there what the information is, whether it's able.
Even little logos, if you have trouble reading, it should be easy to figure out. But really encourage people to go. It takes very little time. Put your name in there. Like I said, if you have a common last name, put your first name in. Mm-hmm. If there's lots, you can put in an address you lived at. But I think just spin the wheel. Put your last name in there and see. Because even if we don't have money for you, maybe we'll have some money for your family, for that sibling or that cousin you haven't talked to for a while, and it'll give you a good excuse to reach out to them. And who doesn't want to hear that they have free money?
I'm typing it in right now. Elifa, type in your name. She's answering the phones right now.
So I'm doing mine right now.
Violetta, Bertrand, you probably have something.
I'm guessing there are a lot of Podrometics there.
Yeah, but
a lot of Podrometics, very common.
There are two Steve Bertrands, but neither one of them's me, unfortunately.
Okay.
Well, do you recognize the address? Might it be a distant cousin that you can reconnect with?
It might be. No, I don't think it is.
As a matter of fact, I believe I'm an heir to this property. I believe it was left for me. We have a listener who has a question. Actually, this relates to the auction coming up, because I was wondering about where you, what happens to unclaimed property. And so does our listener, Scott. Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Very well. What do you want to ask the treasurer?
Well, I've gone on to the unclaimed property site quite a few times, and it mentions property or a bill for me and my ex-wife for a house that we no longer own. And one of the requirements are to supply bills or tax reports. And this is like 10 years ago. You don't keep information about a house that you sold. So how do you claim that? Because you have to show proof that you owned it.
Well, it depends how much it's for. If it's for under $500, we can do a web search. We do a LexisNexis search. I mean, I think people are surprised at how much personal information is available about them online. And if we can find proof online that you once lived there, you won't have to supply us with anything. If it's a relatively smaller amount, you can also sign an affidavit. If you can't, if you really can't find it, you can sign an affidavit. We'll ask for some other proof out there that can help track it down, even if we don't have, you don't have proof of that actual address. So I'd say reach out to my office, tell them you spoke to me on air, and we'll see what we can do to make it easier for you this time.
Sound good, Scott?
Or Scott, if you leave your name and name with the producer, don't give it on air. We can have someone follow up with you.
Yeah, I was just wondering who gets the basically check for that, me or my ex-wife?
Ooh.
Well, you would have to split that. That makes it a little more a little more difficult.
That's sticky.
We had one guy who I think we know he had about $200,000 coming to him. We sent letters, didn't claim it. Called him, wouldn't return our phone calls. I sent someone to his door, went there and said, "Hi, I'm from the treasurer's office." And he said, "Is this about that unclaimed property?" We said, "Yes, it is." He said, "I'm not interested." Shut the door.
Wow.
What I discovered later was that was communal property with an ex-wife. And some people have such anger towards their ex-spouses that they will deny themselves $100,000 in order to deny.
No, come on.
In order to deny their wife. I think he probably didn't need it at the time and said, if I claim it, she's going to get half of it, so I'm just not going to claim it.
Scott, go claim your property. Go claim your checks.
And then share it with your ex-wife. We'll need her signature as well, because one of the biggest cases of fraud is family members.
Right.
You know, family members know their siblings' Social Security numbers. They know the addresses they once lived, and they'll try and claim money for someone in their family. So we do require proof from both of you.
All right, Scott, leave your name, first and last name, with Elif, okay? So we can, I have to find out what Lynn wanted to know, because this is something that people have questions about too. Lynn, what do you want to say?
I have a question on the other side of the coin. I received a letter from my bank saying that my account had been determined to be abandoned, and I have other accounts with the bank that are constantly active, and I have over $200,000 in that savings account. And I was told that if I did not make a little deposit or fill in the form that I received, I would have had that whole bank account emptied by the state treasury.
Yes, so that has been state law. There has to be proof it's active or otherwise. So, if you passed away, if you forgot about it or something, the bank doesn't get to hold on to that money. We want to track down the rightful owner or their heirs. But in the case you just mentioned, we introduced new legislation last year that says if you have multiple accounts at the bank, activity in one of those accounts now qualifies for activity in all of the accounts. So that legislation just took effect, and so my guess that bank has not been in compliance. But I would definitely respond to that, and it shouldn't be a problem in the future.
Thank you, Lynn. I've got to take a break here, and we'll see if we can take one more question, especially, let's see what we can get to, because there's so much show. More after this on 720 WGN.